Good to see all of you tonight again. Thanks for being here. Got a treat. We get to hear from Bruce tonight. We always say that Bruce is the only person I know that can make organizational charts and decision trees interesting and funny. So that takes a great skill to do so. So a number of things I wanted to mention to you tonight. One is, again, just make sure you get your bio form in with your wife commitment form to Leanne as soon as you can. And then also, if you have not sent your picture in, do so. I think Leanne sent you directions. If you need them, ask her. This first year, we're going to try to do selfies, or either maybe it'd be better instead of a selfie, get your wife or a friend to take a picture up close. Send it in. Leanne will be putting that together, compiling them. If for some reason the picture doesn't work, if she's putting the booklets together that we send out to the congregation in October, then she'll let you know. But go ahead and work on that. And then, again, if you would like a binder with your, if you'd like a nice binder like that for your officer notebook, let her know by tomorrow and she'll have it on a table in our office, A106. I think a few of you still need to pick yours up from last week, but you can pick those up on Sunday when you're here, and they're in our office. A106 is just down from Pastor Reeder's office. So Leanne can get you a binder if you'd like that. I think I mentioned earlier is for those of you who may just be coming on, if for some reason you're on and you don't have a name, you have iPhone, iPad, or just a phone number, it'd be great if you would rename yourself, put your name up there so that Leanne, as she's taking roll, she can know who all is here. You can do that by going up to the right corner, the three dots, and click on that, and then you can rename yourself. So that would be good. After Bruce speaks tonight, then Bryant Moore, Clay Hamblin, who are the chairman of the diaconate now, Bryant Moore, and then I think Clay's gonna be on too, Bryant? No, okay, just Bryant, who's the current chairman of the diaconate. He's gonna go over the survey that Leanne mailed out to you today, and that's how we make assignments for the deacons. And then when he's finished, I'll go over the elder survey for those of you who are elder candidates. Deacons, feel free to stay on the whole time, but after Bryant finishes, if you want to jump off, you can. We won't do anything after that, so that's just totally up to you. After tonight, we won't have any more Zoom meetings. You'll have the four audio sessions that you'll need to listen to. Leanne sent that information to you. It's on our website, and so you'll want to listen to those four the next four sessions that deal with the Westminster Confession of Faith, and then history, church history. So you want to listen to those, answer the questions that are in your notebook, work through those. If you have any questions about any of that, you can send that. You can contact me. We also will have, you also need to be working on the study guides that are in the back. Those are pages 26 through 30, and that's on Pastor Reeder's message last week, Coming Generations, English Bible, and the Book of Church Order. So work through those. You won't hear much for the next few weeks until about a week before our next Zoom meeting, which will be September the 30th. Be looking for your emails. Leanne will send a new Zoom link and some information. And then on the 30th, you'll remember, we'll have the guys that do the lectures, the four lectures that you'll be listening to, and they'll be on to answer any questions, share a few things about their session, answer any questions, and then at the end of that, I'll do a review for the exam, which will be the next week. And then tonight, we're going to be looking at Bruce's, there are three pages in your notebook, pages 7 through 9. I'll put them up on the screen, too, as Bruce is talking, but look through those, and we'll go over that tonight. I'll stop here just before I pray for Bruce and turn it over to him to see if any of you have any questions. If you do, unmute yourself and ask about anything that I've gone over right now. And if not, then I'll pray for Bruce and turn it over to him.
Benny.
Yes.
Those who have to listen to the audios and take the test, or is that everybody, or just new officers.
Great point. Yes, thanks, Paul. Only those who are new candidates and who are required to take the exam need to listen to the four sessions. Those of you, Paul, like yourself, who've served before, this is your last night. I mean, if you just really want to listen to my talk and Todd Carlisle's and them, feel free to do that. But no, you don't have to. Only new candidates, deacon and elder candidates that have to take the exam need to do that. So you're done. You're finished, and you don't need to come back. Those of you who've served before, you don't have to join back in on the 30th. Feel free to if you want, but after tonight, you're done, and we appreciate you being here and going through this. So great question. Thanks for bringing that up. Anything else? Okay, well, let me pray for Bruce, and then I'll turn it over to him, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Again, thank you for these men, their willingness to take time out to be equipped and trained as we get ready for the officer elections. Pray again that you would help this to be fruitful in their lives, both tonight and then in the sessions that they listen to, to draw them closer to yourself, even as we go through this information, prepare them to serve if elected. Lord, I thank you for Bruce. I just thank you for the blessing it is to work together with him, for his leadership in this church. Thank you for his tireless efforts always, but especially during this pandemic and all that he's done. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen him. And tonight, Father, I pray that you would guide him even as he leads us and speak through him. And we love you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. Hey, Bruce, all yours.
All right. Thank you, Benny. Hey, Benny, before you go, tell me one thing. What time did Pastor Reeder get done last week? Benny, you're muted. I can't hear you.
Yeah, I didn't want you to hear me. So, yeah, you've got plenty of time.
I need to know. What time?
6:45.
Okay. Well, what time?
Somebody said 6:45.
We have 6:45, yeah, nice try.
Sometimes 8 o'clock.
All right, I just want to make sure I finish well before Pastor Reeder finished, just for the fun of it. I like to rub it in for him. I'm confident I will. Thank you for your time and your willingness to go through the training and to stand for election. We'll trust the Lord's will with how he determines for every single one of us what his will and how that unfolds out in our lives. These are pretty unique times. This is every day seems to be like a new set of curveballs. I probably had a list of maybe a dozen things that I really needed to get done today. The Lord determined that I really needed to get only 3 of those 12 things done today. He had an extra dozen things that came up, and that's okay. The Lord certainly directs our steps. So if I complete teaching this will be the 4th thing I've successfully done today. I didn't say if I do it well, if I just complete it. That's all the expectation I have is to actually get through it. When you think about Briarwood Presbyterian Church, I've heard it. I've used the illustration. I've heard other people use the illustration. I didn't make it up. That Briarwood is like an aircraft carrier. It's like a launching pad. There are so many different, it kind of never sleeps. You know, I don't know if any of us have ever actually been on, I've been on an aircraft carrier one time. It was sitting in dock. So it wasn't out in the ocean, but I've been on it one time. It's like a floating city. And there is more going on that thing. I mean, it's self-sufficient. So there's more going on than you can possibly imagine. We've learned during this pandemic that it's even more like an aircraft carrier in that we almost brought it to a complete stop in the middle of a storm, and we shut almost every single system down and then tried to reengage the priority ones and the essential ones, et cetera, to try to figure out how to get it back working and which parts need to be working. And so by God's grace, I hope we never shut it down again. I'll just say that. Too many systems to get going. Briarwood Briarwood has what I would suggest would be somewhere around 100 identifiable ministries, and that's probably a somewhat conservative number of different initiatives that we have. And so there's a lot of moving parts, and if you're not careful, it can just kind of run off and leave you, and you're not exactly sure. And so we need a lot of officers to spread throughout all of the different parts. And, you know, every once in a while, an officer will say to me, it just doesn't seem right that every officer doesn't know, and then fill in the blank. And I always. Think, how could you possibly, the function, and we try to go by the 1 Corinthians 12, the body, the church is like a body. The hand should not say to the foot, I don't need you, but God has sovereignly apportioned all the members of the body to perform particular unique tasks. And so that's how we approach it, and that's how we'll try to, we've tried to organize it. I will walk through tonight our organizational structure, and Benny was partly right. I actually enjoy this stuff. So this is interesting to me, which is a good thing because it's what I do a lot. So this is interesting to me, and I enjoy how it's structured. You could structure Briarwood 100 ways. This is not the only way that you can run Briarwood. It's not the only way you could run a church. There are many other churches set up many different ways. I get the opportunity to interact with different people from different churches in similar roles that of mine, and that they function very differently than we do. So, but it is the way that Briarwood has designed to structure you. A church our size certainly needs structure. If not, there'll be absolute chaos. And so we really do need structure. So I'll walk us through some of our basic structures, and then I'll pause from time to time and let you ask questions. If we were in the chapel, it would be a lot easier to ask questions. So please don't let the Zoom shut you down. If you've got a question, something you don't understand or need clarity on or think the group needs clarity on, don't hesitate to unmute and just get my attention, ask your question. I'll try to explain it to the best of my ability. So look at page 7, and you'll be looking at the organizational chart for a portion of the church staff. Now, I say a portion of the church staff. People always ask me, how big is Briarwood staff? Well, I mean, payroll, 300 plus, insurance, 200. So, I mean, it depending on which way you want to slice it in terms of the number of staff that we have, because we have multiple other ministries of ours that have a fair number of staff on them, that number will get up over, over 300. So the senior pastor, Pastor Reeder, has one direct report, and that is myself. I serve as Pastor Reeder's executive pastor. Obviously, Pastor Reeder reports to the session, so we serve under the authority of the session. And I would communicate to you that I serve by the will of God at the pleasure of the senior pastor under the authority of the session as a whole. Now, that took me a while to kind of figure that out. But I serve at Pastor Reeder's pleasure. So I'm his executive pastor. If he wakes up in the morning and says he's tired of me being his executive pastor, then it is certainly his prerogative to get another one. And I will salute that decision whenever he comes to that particular point to have someone else fulfill that role. Basically, then, what Pastor Reeder would be very much the visionary. Obviously, he's the vision caster. He's their vision reminder. He's the vision pointer, etc. And so he's very much the visionary. I get charged to be somewhat of a ministry strategist, so to do ministry development, ministry strategy, staff management. And so if you look at our staff team, we had to come up with a structure to where we could manage all of the staff that we have in a conceivable manner, an effective manner. So we divided our staff team into 5 different, what I would call branches of ministry. And you'll see those as the vertical columns there. So you've got the shepherding team on the left, then the ministry team, then the administrative team, then the board-directed team, and then the missions team. And so those are the five branches of ministry. Each of those branches has a head, has a person. And myself and those five men, that's Benny Youngblood, Benny Parks, Matt Moore, Jim Alexander, and Brian Winterstein, we are called the Executive Pastor's Leadership Team until Pastor Reeder walks in the door. If we're all meeting and Pastor Reeder walks in the door, then now we're the Senior Staff Team. So you'll hear two different terms sometimes, the Senior Staff Team or the Executive Pastor's Leadership Team. And basically the only differentiation is whether they're not Pastor Reeder is in the room or is a part of it or chimed in on whatever that particular topic or whatever that particular issue is. And so we will do the staff management through these five different teams. And so basically if you came to me and asked me a question about some particular ministry or some particular function or anything really, I'm going to think in terms of which of these five teams does it go to, and then under those teams, maybe who's the specific staff person or a ministry team that needs to handle whatever this particular issue is. So let's start on the far left, the shepherding team, Benny Youngblood. Benny does an outstanding job as our shepherding pastor. One of the great things about Benny as a shepherding pastor is that we didn't hire someone to be a shepherd. He is a shepherd. And so the Lord has gifted him, called him. He functions as a shepherd. In other words, if he ran the McDonald's at the bottom of the hill, he would do it from a shepherding perspective. He would shepherd every person that came in, get to know them, build a relationship with them, et cetera. Benny is a shepherd. And then we've pulled together a team under him of people who are gifted in the area of shepherding and in the area of shepherding shepherds. In other words, because there's multiple tiers of shepherding in our church family, in our congregation, we have to have shepherds who can shepherd other shepherds, because you're talking about shepherding somewhere in the ballpark, depending on where you want to draw the line. It's somewhere around 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people that we're trying to shepherd that are either members or non-communicant members or regular visitors, prospects to our church. So under Benny would be the ministries of the congregational communities. That would be one of the primary functions there, and we've set up the shepherding in and through each and every one of those congregational communities. Obviously, we've had to rely on that very much so here during this coronavirus to be able to lead that portion and make sure effective shepherding is done. Dave Matthews and Dave Lewis, you'll see them listed there. They are shepherding pastors. That means they would have multiple congregational communities under them, and there'd be a community pastor assigned to those communities as well. Almost every person you see on this particular page, almost, not all, but almost all of them are community pastors, meaning they're assigned to a class, a congregational community, to serve the function of community pastor, and then they would have over them a shepherding pastor for a different life stage portion of our church. Ray Tucker does the membership. That's tucked under Benny Youngblood. He also does the Christian education, gives good leadership there. So that's where your new member classes would come up through there. Your visitor dinners with Pastor Reeder would come up through membership, et cetera. And so that function all comes under Ray Tucker. Our counseling ministry, this is a portion of our shepherding team ministry. So you see we have several different ministries that respond. They respond to the needs of the congregation, like counseling. Stephen Cloud does an excellent job down at the Altadena House. Actually, now, since COVID, he's been doing his counseling by Zoom and been very effective in doing that with people. And so the Lord's blessed him in that ministry. He directs our counseling ministry. Then Mark Cushman, he is a glove fit for pastoral care. When Mark Cushman was being interviewed, we were interviewing multiple guys. In a domination like the PCA, and you're a big church like Briarwood, and you throw out there that you want to hire someone to do pastoral care, you only have about 100 people apply within 24 hours. And so for a lot of different reasons, and two or three are good. And so Mark Cushman comes along, interviews with us, and we're getting near the end of the conversation, the interview conversation, He says, let me get this straight. I can be available and be paid to meet people in their greatest need in some of their most challenging and difficult hours, and really to minister to them in the name of Jesus. And I don't take offense at this, and I won't have to deal with the deacons, and I won't have to lead a session meeting, and I won't have to do minutes, I won't have to preach 52 sermons a year, and y'all will pay me to do that? To which I responded, well, not as much as we would have 10 minutes ago, now that I know that you would basically do it for free. But he is a glove fit. He loves pastoral care, does a phenomenal job with pastoral care, and he heads up, it's not just Mark, he heads up a team of lay pastors, and they all are involved in doing visitation, et cetera. Now, this ministry is pretty challenged right now because of the limitations and restrictions at hospitals and nursing homes, et cetera. But Mark has been very aggressive and very appropriate in terms of making sure that that could continue. Chris Thompson is our Mercy pastor. That's another one of our responding ministries. And this is a really broad ministry, and many of our deacons are going to end up on the Mercy Committee. That's one of our largest committees that we have, and we spread those Mercy deacons throughout all the congregational communities. And Chris serves as our Mercy pastor. And so he oversees the New Focus ministry and ministries like that, and our partners in Mercy, and the parameters, and works with the diaconate very closely. You'll also see down there Jason Ellerby. We have charged him as a shepherding pastor over the young couples, and those continue to grow. And so we now have three classes that are under his purview. And they're continuing to grow, and Jason does an excellent job of meeting their needs and helping them to grow up in the Lord. And then our other shepherding pastor, Michael Wicklin, he has focused shepherding responsibility. So that's how we divide up our shepherding ministry, basically responder ministries, with the exception of the shepherding that we do through the congregational community. So let me just pause there. Are there any questions about the shepherding team? All right. The next team you'll see is the ministry team, and this is led by none other than Benny Parks. And Benny does a great job with this team. This would be, you heard me say a couple of times that the shepherding team, and this is an overstatement or an oversimplification, but many of those ministries respond to the needs of the congregation, whereas Benny's team, for the most part, initiates. And so you've got your reactive and your proactive. And most of what's under Benny's team, these are focused, proactive ministries. And to some degree, they're kind of stair-stepped up. And so you'll see children, youth, college, singles, et cetera. And so years ago, Pastor Reeder, his ministry intuition amazes me. It is incredible. And if for you to know, he may look at me and say, and I'm just going to use Donnie as an example. Bruce, hadn't seen Donnie in a while. Anything, Donnie okay? Usually I always see him at such and such, but hadn't seen Donnie in a while. And I'll check on Donnie and find out that he's been sick, or he's taking care of a relative, or he's had a job transition. I mean, it's amazing his intuition that he has as a pastor. You can't believe what he digests sitting up in those red chairs up there on Sunday morning, in the most uncomfortable chairs ever created by any human being to keep us focused upon worshiping God. And so Harry says to me one day, you know, Bruce, I don't think we're doing the job we could be doing in our transitions. In other words, handing off the children's ministry to the youth ministry to the college ministry. And I'll be honest, my first response was, I mean, I think we're doing pretty good. How would you know? I mean, how do you measure that? So we figured out how to measure it and how to look at it, and found out there is a gap. And there is a little bit of a, where we were losing, Jay Shaw, junior high, et cetera. They're able to minister and show up down in the children's ministry. The college shows up in the youth ministry, singles, et cetera. And so it's been very effective for us to have more continuity in this. And he's really built them together as a team. John Evans is our children's pastor, leads our children's ministries. And that's a pretty broad ministry, because tucked under John would be our nursery and our Mother's Day Out, as well as our children's worship, our Connect, our Ignite, Vacation Bible School, etc. So a lot of kids and a lot of different ministries that he oversees, and has a staff team that work with him in the children's ministry. Then Jay Shaw oversees our youth ministry, and that would be both junior high and senior high. So Raiders, our junior high, BYG, our senior high ministry. So he gives leadership and oversees them. They're housed down at the barn. Then our college pastor is Max Bunn. And so Max really has our college ministry is sort of divided into two ministries. One ministry in our college ministry would be our covenant children that go off to school. And the other ministry would be other children or college students that come to Birmingham. So during the fall and the spring, our ministry may primarily be made up of people who don't live in Birmingham, but they've come to Birmingham to fantastic, unique colleges that very few elite people can go to, like Samford. That's only intended for the very, very best of students to go and attend there. But he'll have students come from that. Then in the kind of Christmas time in the summer, that's when our covenant students that are away. Now, he and Pastor Reeder will go to several campuses, the Auburn, Alabama, other campuses that they'll travel around to, Mississippi State, et cetera, that they'll go see, visit our students, and minister to them and kind of maintain that connection. That's Max's responsibility. And then Stephen King, our singles pastor, does a great job with our singles. We have a couple of different singles groups that he leads, our graduates and career, et cetera. And so he does a great job leading them through in our singles ministry. Then a couple of the other, we basically have our men, Eric Rebels, who does that, and he does our discipleship and our evangelism. And then our women, Christy Herrick, does a great job leading the women. And so those are focused ministries, proactive ministries, targeting the needs of women, targeting the needs of evangelism, discipleship, men of the covenant, et cetera. And then, of course, John Haynes, our worship pastor, reports to Benny, and that's the proactive ministry of leading our worship, our choir, our praise team, our band, our orchestra, et cetera. He does that and just does a fabulous job in doing that and designing the worship services along with Pastor Reeder and myself and Benny each week. So any questions about the ministry team? All right, I won't ask you what else you're watching on TV while I'm going through this. All right, so the administrative team. All right, this is Matt Moore's team. This is the services branch of our ministry. So we've tucked all of these administrative services teams together. So you've got the accounting. Fred Morris does a great job of leading our accounting department. And so he's got a staff with him that are work there and do an excellent job. There's a fair number of resources that come through Briarwood when you pull us all together as a ministry. There's a lot of resources that come through, and Matt and Fred do an excellent job of doing those in a way that honors the Lord, being good stewards of those resources, et cetera. Debbie Little leads the bookstore. She does a great job with the bookstore when we can be open. Right now the bookstore is not open, but she does an excellent job with leading the bookstore. Then our communications director, Dave Baileus, leads the communications, which would also include our audiovisual, the guys who run the PowerPoint, the sound on Sunday morning, the video department, the weekly, our printed material that gets sent out. That is all under Dave Baileus. And, boy, they've had some really unique challenges during this COVID period and have risen to the occasion very, very well. Our facilities director, Steve Goble, would be over all of our facilities that he is responsible for. And so he works there in the office. Angela Ashley, who reserves all the rooms, et cetera, works for him. And then Steve would oversee the inside and the outside, the custodial, as well as the grounds departments as well, the maintenance that goes along with that. Sherry Smith does the food services and is a fantastic cook and just a good servant. She's actually transitioned during this time. She's been doing our check-in. So if you come to the church right now for a reason, then you'll have to walk in and answer five questions about COVID, have your temperature taken. And Sherry's been coming for a month and a half now, maybe 2 months, and doing that for all of our staff and others that would be participants. So she's just a good team player. Our library is run by Lisa Tucker. That's Ray Tucker's wife, so don't say anything bad about their library to Ray. And you can probably say anything bad about Christian education to Lisa. It probably won't bother her about Ray, but I wouldn't do it the other way. But she does an excellent job with the library. Of course, right now that's closed as well. And then our safety and security is Jason Springfield. And he's just a great fit to provide security. You know, one of the challenges with providing security in a place like Briarwood is that we not only built Briarwood, but our philosophy would be to have as many open doors as possible. Well, if you're a security guy, you want as few open doors as possible. And so it's a challenging job for Jason, but he's got a great team. He's built great relationships with officers that we use from Jefferson County, Shelby County, the city of Hoover, some Vestavia. And so he just does a great job leading them. A certain portion of the safety and security, we do have a safety and security committee, a certain portion of what Jason does, just we don't communicate it. It's not for public knowledge simply because once you do that, it's not effective anymore. And so we're glad for them to keep us moving forward. You can never be current in safety and security because times just change so incredibly fast. And so, but they do a great job, the committee and Jason and officers that he pulls in with them. They do a great job of keeping us safe. So any questions about the administrative services? All right. Moving right along, our board-directed ministries. You're probably familiar with some or all of these. These are one thing to Jim Alexander leads this, and Jim does a great job. Jim is a really unique minister in that he spent about half of his career out in the business world in management, in the business world, and then he went to seminary and came into ministry. And so he brings to some degree the best of both worlds into this, which is very helpful when it relates to leading directors of board-directed ministries. And so there's eight board-directed ministries that we have, and a key thing for an officer to know is that these are not separate entities. The only board-directed ministry that is a separate entity is the seminary, and that's for accreditation purposes. Otherwise, it wouldn't either. In other words, they're all under the same tax ID number. If you were to call the IRS and you were to say, you know, hey, I've got a question about Briarwood Christian School, they would pull it up and go, there is no Briarwood Christian School. I have a Briarwood Presbyterian Church, but there is no Briarwood Christian School. There is no Young Business Leaders. There is no Christian Medical Ministry in terms of a separate legal entity. These are ministries of the church, and therefore, as a session, these aren't ministries we've built a relationship with. These are ministries that we have started. These are ministries we've embraced. These are our ministries, and so we are responsible. Now, they're focused, and they're pretty big or pretty broad, and they have targeted groups, and therefore we designed for them to have boards that would help them think specifically about those groups. In other words, there's no way we could run our school with the session being the school board. That would be inconceivable. Well, we wouldn't be able to keep any elders, I'll put it that way. That would just be an overload. And so we have a school board. We have a Christian Medical Ministry board. All of these have boards. Campus Outreach, very large, broad ministry, has a board. The requirement is for the chairman or the vice chairman of those boards to be a sessional elder. And for the different ratios in terms of makeup of those boards that are required to be the majority, and some the supermajority, need to be members of Briarwood and or elders at Briarwood. And so Ike Reeder leads our seminary. When Glenn Waddell resigned as the president of our seminary, we needed someone who could generate students, cast vision, and raise money. And Ike is good at all that. And he is doing an outstanding job. And really even is flourishing, even during this coronavirus. They were able to adjust very quickly with having the ability to do most of what they do online. And so that's been a tremendous blessing, and able to retain students, which has been, praise the Lord. Peggy, leading our ballet, just does a fabulous job. Pray for them. They'll be cranking up ballet here just right after Labor Day, and that's the next fairly large group that we'll be bringing onto the campus, so that'll present its own set of challenges. But I think we have a good plan to be able to ease our way into that. Then, of course, our school, Steven Steiner is the superintendent of our school, and boy, if you could pray for them each day, that'd be great, because they're faced with many challenges right now, as you can imagine. And so we spend a good bit of time talking each day, and the Lord's blessing. We're grateful to have Stephen and his leadership superintending the upper school, the lower school ministries. Then our Briarwood Fellows, that's Seth Richardson that leads that, and that's the dozen or so recent college graduates that come and stay with us for 9 months. They work a job. They are a part of a community learning to have a seamless faith. So as they launch out into the business world, they would be able to understand that they're not a Christian who happens to be an accountant. They're a Christian accountant. The Lord has a calling for them in that regard and would use them in that way. Then Campus Outreach, Olin Stubbs. Campus Outreach Birmingham is our footprint. Olin Stubbs is the head of that. You may or may not know that this last year, Campus Outreach, which had both the Campus Outreach Birmingham and a huge international piece to it, that international piece became its own entity. And so it became a separate organization and launched out. It's called Campus Outreach Serve. And so they have a pretty big footprint there. Then the Christian Medical Ministry, Bobby Parks leads that. A lot of focus down at UAB with both the medical students and the dental students, mission trips, et cetera. Just has an excellent ministry there. And Bobby does a great job of leading that ministry. Our young business leaders, Phil Reddick is the executive director of Young Business Leaders, and that would include the young business leaders here as well as over in Jackson, Mississippi, up in Huntsville, and a women's business leaders and now second half ministry, which is for men in the second half of their careers. And so that specific function or endeavor or initiative Phil leads. And then Quest is our recreation ministry. So you would have Trail Life under that, the soccer club under that, and other sports as well. So any questions about our board-directed ministries or how those are set up?
Bruce?
Yes.
Hey, yes, do the board directed ministries use back office functions supplied by Mal Moore's, Matt Moore's services, such as accounting, et cetera?
That's a great question, Donnie. So there are three accounting offices under the purview of the church. There's the main accounting office, and then there's the Campus Outreach Accounting Office, and then the school has accounting office. Now, Campus Outreach, pure support raising, fairly large staff and spread out. Then the school, obviously very unique in terms of a fee-based ministry and very broad. And so those three accounting offices exist. All the other board-directed ministries, yes. They're, from a financial standpoint, services, et cetera, yes, they're going to use the resources that you see listed there under Matt Moore and Fred Morris. Any other questions on the board-directed ministries? Once, twice, sold. Okay, missions. Briarwood has a significant commitment in missions and a significant footprint, and really, best I can tell, having had conversations with Dr. Barker and others, that when the church began, the key word that you'll hear is Briarwood just wanted to be faithful and effective in doing missions. Well, over the years, the Lord has continued to just broaden and broaden and broaden and broaden that ministry. And so now we have a pretty extensive missions ministry that reaches all around the world. It's broken down into global missions would be a primary aspect, and that's what Brian primarily focuses on in terms of the global mission endeavor. Of course, we do Faith Promise, and we have our conference and our missionaries that we support and entities that we support in our global missions endeavors, which are incredibly significant. Then we also have national missions, and right now that national missions position is open. But under our national missions, that would be our church revitalization, our church planting, our North American ministry endeavors, the people that we support. Not too far from now, too long from now, we'll have our national missions conference every fall. We're trying to figure out how to do that when people actually can't be there, but that's okay. We'll come up with a good and effective way to continue to get that word out and exposure out in terms of national missions. So pray for us as we continue the search for a national missions pastor. Then you see our international ministry, and that would be where Taylor Barnes primarily, but not exclusively, focuses down at UAB. And, you know, UAB has a large number of international students that come to it. And so we have a direct ministry there, many of which end up being involved at Briarwood. And so that's all a part of our international ministry. And then we have also our Hispanic ministry. Joel Acevedo is our Hispanic pastor. They meet down on 119. That's a congregation that meets there together. Would encourage you to remember them. Our Korean congregation and our Hispanic congregation have been hit very hard during this coronavirus. The Hispanic would be made up. There's a fair number of our Hispanic members that are in labor situations that just disappeared overnight when COVID first hit. We've been working hard to try to help them through that and then help them get into other job situations, which the Lord has blessed those efforts. Our Korean congregation, as it would be, a large number of our Korean members own or run small businesses. And so that's just a lot of them have known each other in that context, each other's business. And so they got hit really hard during that time of coronavirus and continuing to do that. So pray for them as well as we continue to try to help them navigate through that. Sungmin Im is the pastor over our Korean congregation. Then Ko Hamamatsu, our Japanese pastor, he leads our Japanese congregation. It's a small congregation, but there's not near as many Japanese people in Birmingham as there certainly aren't as there are Hispanics or Koreans. And so, but he does a great job of ministering to them. And those are long relationships in the Japanese community to be able to see them come to the Lord. And oftentimes when one of the two of a couple comes to the Lord, it creates real tension in their marriage and in their families, et cetera. And so Ko does a wonderful job of shepherding them through that and trying to minister to them. In Puerto Rico is Ronnie Garcia, who was sent from Briarwood down to plant a presbytery in our denomination. And so Ronnie does a great job down there. We've got two church plants there now, La Travesia and Trinity in Puerto Rico. So we're grateful for the work that is done there in Puerto Rico. And then our urban pastor, Noah Despinas, focuses on our ministry partners in the urban community. A good number of them are in Fairfield, but not all of them. And so Noah leads us in our urban endeavors with our urban committee, et cetera. So any questions about the missions branch? All right. Any questions about that? That's our staff team. Now, that sheet of paper basically, not exactly, but that sheet of paper is basically what we call our staff leadership team. And it's just a couple of layers of staff. If we were to pull our staff leadership together to, as we're addressing COVID issues and other issues and et cetera, this would be the group of people primarily that we would pull together to be able to do that. So any questions about this layer of our staff or the way we're structured from a staff standpoint? All right, go to the next page. On the next page, this is the committee and commissions reporting to the session. So how do we do business? And I'll walk us through this, and then I'm going to tell you that unless you're borderline brilliant, and I know there are some guys on here that are borderline brilliant, you'll have to experience this for it to actually make sense. I had to experience it for about 10 years, so that tells you how smart I am or how smart I'm not. So it just takes a while. It's one thing to put it on paper. It's another thing to be involved. And so if you're one of the elders or deacons that have been around and have already served a term or two on the session or diaconate or both, then you probably can resonate with what I'm saying. It takes a while to figure out just how decision-making is done and how the reporting takes place up to the session. So we're under the authority of the session, okay? And so decisions, information, recommendations, et cetera, are going to flow to the session and then flow from the session back out all the way to the congregation. So here's the way it's set up. To design the business coming to the session, we've established a leadership team committee. Now, it's very important to understand this structure, that this leadership team committee is simply made up of people that serve in other capacities along with a chairman and a vice chairman. So you'll see there, the leadership team committee has an elder chairman, elder vice chairman. Mr. Billy Ball is our elder chairman right now. Our vice chairman of the leadership team right now is Jim Carlson. Then each of the commissions that you see below, the shepherding team, the board-directed ministry team, and the ministry team, we've established three commissions to be able to handle business and direct that business up to the session. So the chairman of each of those commissions sits on the leadership team committee. Along with that, to the far right, you'll see there's the diaconate. It has a chairman, a vice chairman, a mercy team chairman, and each of those three men sit on the leadership team committee. Then there are three staff that serve on the leadership team committee, the senior pastor, the executive pastor, and the church administrator. We all serve on the leadership team. So the leadership team is charged with doing what? Well, we receive the business as it comes up from the commissions, and we set the agenda for the session meeting. The leadership team committee does not have the authority to overrule a commission. Let's say that the shepherding team commission has a recommendation. Then the leadership team committee can't vote no and say, we don't like your recommendation. We're not putting it on the session agenda. What the leadership team committee can do, however, is to say, okay, shepherding team commission, you have a great recommendation. However, in order to do this, you need money. And you can't, we're not going to take your recommendation to the session until you come up with a way to pay for it. Therefore, you need to recommend over to the finance committee, which would come up through the ministry team commission. And so now what the leadership team can do is to say, is this decision ready for the session to deliberate over it and to act on it so that you don't impose one decision on another commission. So a leadership team is a committee, not a commission, can't act on their decisions. They can only make recommendations up to the session, and so they can't actually do something and act, whereas the commissions actually can. So let me walk through the three commissions, and basically these resemble the structure we just looked at with the staff structure in that we had five teams: shepherding, board-directed, ministry team, so that's three of the five, admissions under the ministry team, that's four of the five, and the administrative services, most of that interacts with the diaconate. And so this basically reflects the staff structure, so they go hand in hand, okay? The shepherding team commission is made up of, it has an elder chairman, an elder vice chairman each year.
Bruce,
it's got a,
Bruce, sorry, let me interrupt for a second. I'm going to mute everybody, and then you may have to unmute because we've got some background noise.
Okay. All right. You good now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the shepherding team commission's got the elder chairman, the elder vice chairman. It's got Benny Youngblood, our shepherding team staff supervisor. Then you'll see it's got the shepherding pastors that are on that. Then the shepherding elder representatives. So each of those ministry teams, Youngblood, Benny Youngblood would be on it. And then there's an elder that's assigned to Benny for the year. Mark Cushman would be on it, and there's an elder. So you would multiply that times two, and then it also has these other ministry teams, pastoral care, prayer, mercy, et cetera. It's got these other ministry teams that are represented on the shepherding team commission. They meet every other month, okay? And so every other month they meet and make decisions. The most normal decision the shepherding team makes every time they meet is the membership report. And so they'll create the membership report, recommend it up through the leadership team committee to the session. The next group is the board directed ministry team commission. This is very straightforward. It's each of the ministry's directors and either the chairman or vice chairman of that board directed ministry, which would be a sessional elder. So they meet every other month and they would make recommendations. The most common recommendation the board directed ministry team commission would make would be the addition of board members. These are rolling off. We recommend these to be approved. They can't approve the board members and act on it. The session has to approve the board members for each of the board-directed ministries. Then you have the ministry team commission. This is the largest of the commissions because this has, obviously, the chairman, the vice chairman. It's got Vinnie Parks on it, et cetera, and it's got the different ministry pastors on it, so all those different ministry teams, and every one of them has an elder representative that serves on that. Then it's got the diaconate committees. The diaconate committees report up through the ministry team commission, and there are two elder liaisons for each of those, so two for finance, two for HR, two for budget, et cetera. And so you can see this is a large commission. This is 40-plus people in a room when we were allowed to meet in rooms that meet and deliberate over this, and they would make recommendations up. Almost pretty regularly, I would say the most normal things that you're going to get out of the ministry team commission are going to be things related to the missions department, financial decisions, distributions is going to come up through there, as well as any recommendations that come from our committees, building and grounds committee, finance committee, the budget committee, et cetera. It'll come up through the ministry team commission. And then you have the diaconate. And the diaconate obviously functions as a whole. It's got a chairman, vice chairman, mercy chair. And you see there listed all of the different committees for what's called the DAT, the diaconate administrative team. So you have the diaconate administrative team and the diaconate mercy team. And so that's the DAT and the DMT. And they would make recommendations on some occasions directly from the diaconate to the session, such as the budget. So the budget committee will make a recommendation up. It'll be referred to the diaconate first. The diaconate will deliberate on it. Then it will go from the diaconate as a recommendation to the session. Once again, I want to make sure that this is clear. So each one of these commissions has a charter, and it tells them what they're responsible for. They make recommendations, and it's the responsibility of the leadership team committee to work to make sure that the other necessary committees have spoken into it. The board-directed ministry team commission could not decide to build a new building. We would have to refer that to building and grounds and finance and some others probably. But they could make a recommendation. We would send it to ministry team to those appropriate committees. It would come back up. Now, how does this work every year? Well, every other month, I mentioned these commissions meet. They actually meet the exact same week. And so a Tuesday of that week, the ministry team commission would meet. On Thursday, the shepherding team commission. On Friday, the board directed ministry team commission would meet. And then the very next week, on a Tuesday, the leadership team meets. And the very next week, the session meets. Then the next round takes place 2 months later. And so this is their six decision cycles in a year. And, yes, it does take that long to get decisions made. So any questions about how this works and how decisions get made?
Bruce, tell me again how the session is formed. Are all of these people in the boxes down below, are they all part of the session? Who all comprises the session, please?
Yeah, so there's three classes of 25 elders that make up 75 elders on the session. There are approximately 55 to 58 actual specific roles that we plug elders into for the year. So all of them would have shepherding responsibilities, but others of them would serve in different capacities. It basically breaks down to almost all of them with those that serve on boards and other. There'll be multiple people on a committee or a team. And so that's the makeup of the session. What you see in these boxes, those elders are spread. Not all of them are on the commissions, but the 55-ish that I mentioned, they're spread through those three or four different boxes, the commissions plus the leadership team committee.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Okay. The last page I have is simply a page. This will not require much explanation to go through because I've already explained this. This is just a diagram that shows it. And basically it just says, what's the decision tree? You have the source of the recommendation. It goes to a diaconate committee or committees because it may need to go to more than one. It goes to the session commissions, the shepherding team, ministry team, or the board directed ministry team commission up to the leadership team. The leadership team sets the agenda for the session meeting, and then the session is the final authority. And so they deliberate over it, and they give guidance or ask questions, send it back, make recommendations, refer it to other places. So they have the authority to do with it what they deem is the most right and appropriate way to deal with it. So this just simply lays out how a decision would be made.
Bruce, okay. Give me several examples of the recommendations. I mean, this is not like, do we need a new water cooler in Hall B? What type of recommendations comprise that?
Sure, great question. Do we need to do the roof? Oh, by the way, yes, we do, and it's expensive. Now you got to figure out, okay, here's the recommendation. Where does that go? How does that go all the way up to the session? How does it get to the session? Or last night the session met and we dealt with a recommendation for a prayer initiative that's going to be 70 days of fervent prayer that'll be launched in September through the fall. And so that works its way through the system. So it can be of a mechanical, physical issue. It can be the budget of the church. It can be a prayer initiative. It can be almost anything in terms of the decisions that need to get made.
But something of substance generally.
That's right. What we would do is try to figure out, if someone asks a question about a particular ministry, can XYZ ministry move their event from Tuesday to Thursday night? That's just day-to-day management. You know, that part we're not going to work through the system. But if it changes courses or creates new course, then we're going to work it through the committees and on up to the session.
So is the diaconate committee kind of like the Congress and the session is kind of like the Senate? And which one of those do we have a Nancy Pelosi and a Chuck Schumer in?
Yeah, I would never, Robert, I'm way, way, way too smart to ever use a political illustration in regards to the church. I might would have 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, but I'm certainly not going to do it now.
You'll get recorded and it'll play again someplace else, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Bruce. If there is a matter of if it's a theological issue that the church needs to deal with, does that somehow fit into that same decision tree, or are theological related issues kind of dealt with in a completely different fashion?
Well, you don't have a theological committee, and so there's really not a place, you know, where you go pitch a theological issue. So typically a theological issue would come, say, to the floor of the session in whatever way. Maybe it's coming from our denomination, or it's coming outside, or maybe it's bubbling up and it's a question. And if we needed to really work on it, such as the Obergefell decision, okay, so you get the Supreme Court case, and there's theological challenges there. So they appointed a task force study committee of elders and others to go work on it, bring it back to the session. So typically, if it was something that needed to be studied, they would set up a committee. But you make a good point. There's really not a theological a committee per se.
Okay.
And Pastor Reeder defers to Benny Parks on any real difficult theological issues. All right, any other questions? All right, just so that I can say I said it, any question you ever wanted to ask the executive pastor, but just never had the chance. Great. You saw how quick I ended that one. So, Benny, that is all I have.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it very much. And I know you can, if you have any questions afterwards, you thought, man, I wish I had asked Bruce this, then feel free to email him. I think he always gives his email out, hreeder@briarwood.org.
Yep. So, that is exactly right. hreeder@briarwood.org. You can email me day or night.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm going to introduce now, I'd ask Bryant Moore to unmute, and he's the chairman of our diaconate, and he's going to go over briefly the survey for the deacons, so give you some instructions there. Then I'll take just a few minutes to do the same for the elder survey. Bryant, do you want me to put it up on the screen? Would that be helpful?
If you don't mind, Benny, that'd be great. Gentlemen, good evening. Benny, am I the last thing or second to last thing between these gentlemen and the rest of their lives for the evening?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to make this a little somewhat quick. Once again, thank you for going through this process. Thank you for considering serving with our church. What you see on the screen is the survey that will help Clay. It helped me this past year as the chairman. It will help Clay Hamblin as the upcoming chairman determine where the best fit for you and the rest of the deacons. If you can imagine, we have 120, anywhere between 123 and 127 deacons. At any one time, and we don't know, we quite frankly don't know the time, the talent, or the talents and the skills of each deacon, so this is the best way for us to understand where you are gifted, where the Lord has called you, where you believe you would be a phenomenal fit within the organization. So as of today, it's traditionally been maybe a paper form or a PDF form that you would email or fax or mail back to Leanne. We are currently working on, it's not going to be in time for the deadline on the 16th, but we're currently working on having a web-based version of this. So you can just click a link, submit it, and then it'll just go directly to Leanne. Why is that important? It never fails with 126 deacons that the participation rate in the survey is not 100%. So I would encourage each one of you to please fill this out. Fill it out tonight or take some time to fill it out. But the most important thing is to get it back and return it to Leanne so that Clay can have an accurate representation of the talents on the diaconate. So I want to go over this briefly. At the very, very top, this group would be selecting, if elected, I will be serving the class of 23. So I think that's kind of self-explanatory. What you're going to do is you're going to put, I know it says, you know, the Lord's Day Committee and then it has other committees. You're going to put a 1, 2, or 3 in three of these categories. We would really appreciate you putting 1, 2, and 3, not just 1, not just 1 and 2, but all three selections. The chances of you, I don't know what the chances of you are of getting your first choice is. This is certainly not rush. It's not, there's no money exchanging hands. If you wanted to, it can be, but that it would not be for any type of priority into a committee. But you would simply note your preference here. I think I said this in the video, but if you're going to be out of town a lot, if you travel a good deal and, during the week for business, I would probably steer you towards the Lord's Day Committee. That way you could be here on the weekends to serve. You know, that I think the survey gives a pretty good explanation of each committee, but the Lord's Day Committee is certainly the biggest committee. Followed pretty closely by the Mercy Committee, and then the remaining committees would be anywhere between maybe five and ten people on each committee. That's not necessarily 5 and 10 deacons, but it would be what Bruce alluded to is that might be an elder liaison plus the diaconate chair. And a couple other members at large. So, I would also maybe suggest that if you're uncertain, if you want to take a broad brush stroke, if this is your very first time serving on the diaconate, and you don't really know where you want to serve, you can. I would highly suggest you filling this out each year, and really committing, our contact information is at the back of this form. But if there is one that you are absolutely want to serve in, I would express those desires or concerns with Clay and me about your willingness to do, one committee over the other, or if you know, for instance, I have no knowledge, acumen, whatever you want to call it, in the information technology world. I would be the most useless committee member of that group. I would just sit there. Maybe I could be the secretary and take notes, but I would not add anything to that. So if you know that there are places where you're not gifted, the Lord has not called you, please let us know that as well. The other thing I would ask is that don't assume we certainly would like your opinion. If you're of the opinion, hey, I'm going to serve wherever you want to put me or wherever the Lord calls me, that's awesome, and I really appreciate that attitude. But go ahead and fill out the survey anyway. It certainly helps us to even in the bottom. If you want to write in on the bottom of the first page, I'm willing to serve anywhere that the Lord calls me to. Amazing. We appreciate that flexibility. But please turn in the survey. Let's see. I don't think that I have another copy up here on my other screen, so I'm going to walk through this. I would say, Leanne does a great job of coordinating. It's almost like she has 126 children. That she herds or pushes rope uphill. The easiest way for her to get this back to her would probably be email. She includes that at the bottom. You know, for those that are more technologically savvy than others, you can use an app called Genius Scan that would take a picture of the form and convert it into a PDF, and you could send that to her. You could probably take a picture of the forms. Or if you have a scanner at home, you know, make it as easy as possible for her to get that. And I'd really love and really encourage you not to wait until September the 17th to turn this in, or Clay's not necessarily intimidating, to say the least, but we'll, if we need to break some kneecaps, we can to get these forms back. So, Benny, I'll open it up for questions. Does anybody have a specific question about one of those committees?
Hey, Brian, I'm just curious. I guess in the current state of things, outside of the Lord's Day committee, but a lot of the other committees, are people meeting virtually right now or in person? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, we had what's today, the 26th? This is today, Wednesday. We had a diaconate meeting last night, virtually. So the entire diaconate meets every other month on the even months, and we met via Zoom. I want to say every other committee at present time is meeting via Zoom. I would be shocked if the IT committee didn't, but I'm trying to look at the, a lot of these groups are flexible enough that we just hop on Zoom or a conference call. That's the other. Some people will just choose to use a conference call number instead of Zoom. But everybody right now is really adapting to the flexibility. And I charged the diaconate last night with coming up with ways to be more efficient, because it's not going to be COVID-19 next year. It'll be COVID-20. It'll be the, Mexican flu. It'll be the European virus whatever is coming up next will be coming. And the way we've always done things is not the way we can do it moving forward as a diaconate. So, praise the Lord that this technology was implemented, prior to this. It's amazing how the Lord works. And the diaconate, I don't know, Bruce, you can speak about the session, but the diaconate has been very, very flexible, in their meetings.
The session does a hybrid. And so because we meet in the worship center, so you'll have, a third to a half on occasions meet physically in the worship center spread out, and the rest of them by Zoom. And Brian, the only diaconate committee that I know of, there may be others, the building and grounds, I think, may have had a meeting or two because they had to physically look at the roof and stuff like that. But everybody else, I think, has done a great job of just not missing a beat and keeping business going.
That's a great point. Our desire, to be quite transparent, our desire is not to meet via Zoom. Our desire is to be within the body of the diaconate and to really experience that prayer time and the joint meetings, and to be with the elders and the deacons together, and just to see the leadership in that room is an enjoyable time in my life. We've been doing the best we can during this time to still enjoy that camaraderie. Did that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Brian?
Really quick question. For the other committees, I know you said the Lord's Day committee for people who go out of town. Like, it's got the least amount of requirement for commitment kind of a thing. For the other committees, are they usually meeting once a month? Or, how often are the other committees usually meeting and that you have to be able to commit that amount of time to?
Yeah, John, great question. So I would say the overall time commitment is very similar, one committee to another. So Lord's Day might be on Sundays, and it's going to meet about the same amount of time, or those responsibilities are going to be about the same amount of time as, say, the finance committee. The finance committee is going to meet every month. The budget committee, correct me if I'm wrong, Benny or Bruce, the budget committee may not meet every month of the year. but towards the budgetary process, they're going to meet more frequently during that time period. So they may not meet 12 meetings, but they may have multiple meetings within a specific period of time, just to make sure that the budget process is completed by the next joint meeting. Looking at the others, usually those other committee meetings are going to be during the week in the mornings. So it's I would probably say it's going to be either a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, more than likely a Thursday, where these groups are going to meet, maybe starting at 6:30 in the morning, maybe starting at 7, definitely getting you out, or try the goal is to get you out of the meeting before you start your day at 8. So I'm just kind of going over this list. Stewardship Education meets, does not meet every month, but they meet like the Budget Committee. They meet in a condensed fashion during the EMC and Faith Promise times. So it depends on their role within the organization as to how many times or the timeline in which they meet.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Any others? Okay, well, thanks, Brian. And if you have any further questions, then feel free to contact him. You've got his information in your notebook, or you can email him, he or Clay Hamblin. Real quick for that. Well, let me tell you this. The deacons, feel free to stay on for the next few minutes, or you can hop off if you'd like. Those of you who do who served before as deacons and you're going to go ahead and get off, thank you for being here, and you're done with the training, and we'll see you soon. Be praying for the election in December. So we'll let you go. For the elders here, if you will, let me share this screen with you. You should have received this today from Leanne. Let me make sure. Okay. Yeah, so everybody see that? So as Brian said, if you're on this call, you would check that you would serve with the class of 2023 if you're elected. Just a few things I would say about this. It's pretty self-explanatory, but that I would want you to know is you see in that first top part something that's critical, all caps, and that is the number one responsibility of an elder is to be a shepherd in their community, in his community. Dale Sitton usually does this portion, and he would say that probably 50 times in 5 minutes. But how important it is, and you see the passage in First Peter 5, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So, as Bruce said earlier, not every elder will be on a commission or have a committee assignment, and nor should you necessarily aspire to that. That's an added a responsibility in addition to shepherding in your Sunday school community. So this just helps us. We'll do our best to place men who have expertise in areas or committed to various areas, and this will help us, the nominations committee, to go through that. So the other thing that I'd want you to know as you go through here in the box, the black box there, you've got areas that you would want to look over on the front and the back. Notice it says list only three total and in order, 1, 2, 3, not an X, because we want to know what your priorities are, which ones you would, how you would put them in order, one being that would be your top choice. So look under the shepherding team commission here. You wouldn't have a 1, 2, and 3 in there. You might, if you wanted to serve on the shepherding team commission, you would have either a 1, 2, or 3. If it was your top choice, then you would put number 1 by there. Notice under the shepherding team commission, the note at the end of that little paragraph, if you select one of the Sunday school communities that you would want to serve in on the shepherding team commission, you need to be in one of those classes. So like if you said, man, I love Benny Youngblood, and I would love to be on the shepherding team commission to serve with him, then you would put one by Benny's name, if that's your top choice of what you would want to serve as an elder. But you need, but to be able to do that, you need to be either in Discovery, Sojourners, or Team Builders. And so it's not just picking one of those. It's making sure that you're in one of the Sunday school communities that's to the right of the staff's name. Then you have these other committees listed at the bottom. If that's one of your interests, let's say number two or three, then you would put that by one of those committees. On the back, you have the Ministry Team Commission. And here, it's a little different, too, in that if you're already involved in that ministry, so let's say you're already a volunteer for Jay Shaw in the youth ministry. You're working with him, you're a parent, maybe on his parents' team. And check that. That just lets us know that you're already involved. And then you may say, I'd love to be on the Ministry Team Commission and help Jay. Well, you could list that as one of your three choices. Now, those staff are recruiting people who are involved in their ministry, so it's a combination of you placing your interest there, but also Jay, who's already has some parents involved or an elder involved who may serve multiple terms. But that's what you would do with the Ministry Team Commission, Diaconate Committee, Elder Liaisons. If you're already involved in one of those, maybe you're on the Budget Committee already, then check that. But if that's one of your interests, then you would mark that also. And then finally, when we get to the board directed ministry, that this is the only other thing, kind of like a shepherding team. Read the note there. In order to represent board directed ministry on the board directed ministry team commission, you need to be actually on the board of one of those ministries. So you wouldn't just check, hey, I want to be an elder liaison for the BTS, for Birmingham Theological Seminary. You would need to already be on their board to serve in that capacity. But those are the various committees and commissions, and Leanne sent those to you today. So I'll just stop there, see if you have any questions, and then obviously you can email me or call me if you want to know further about it. And you can also talk to our committee chairman, Wes Klein, or to Dale Sitton. So does anybody have any questions about those committees or commissions? Okay, well, Bruce, pretty impressive. You spoke, Bryant spoke, and I spoke, and we still ended 5 minutes earlier than Pastor Reeder last week. So just
saying.
Yep. So, men, thank you. Again, we'd like to get those surveys before or by September the 16th. And so please send those in. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. And thanks again for being here. Don't forget to listen to the next four sessions, and then we'll be back on Zoom. We'll look out for an email from Leanne before September 30th, and we'll be back then to go over the review for the exam and the four sessions that you listen to. So why don't I pray for us, and then we'll be done. Father, again, thank you for these men. Thank you for their diligence even to be here tonight. And I pray that you would bless them richly and use them mightily in your service. Thank you that they're willing to serve, and we pray that you would just be preparing them, if elected, and just give them a greater love and commitment to you and to your church. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first, and we commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.